Namaste. So contemplation is a subject that, as I might have said before, I didn't really understand the purpose of it and the way that it works. And so I'll be doing some of these explanation videos as we move deeper into our contemplative practice. And really, we only need to contemplate where we find that our peace is disturbed. Some karmic pattern is coming up, or there's too much of something, too much fear, or not enough of something else, not enough money, not enough patience, time, all of that. So contemplation is going to help us dissolve these old ways of thinking and then take us back to the infinite self. And in doing that, as we're not letting this pattern run, it's going to disappear by itself. Any thoughts that we don't use, any thought pathways, neural pathways in our brain begin to atrophy and new ones are being formed all the time. And these karmic patterns are just very familiar ways of thinking about things, about ourselves, about the world, and about the self, about our awakening, all of that. So it helps to kind of have a theoretical understanding as well of what contemplation is and how it works. For me, that really was enormously helpful. So we're asking a particular question, just a quick reminder. We have some situation in our life that comes to the forefront, some karmic pattern. And then we trace that back to how we feel emotionally when that thing is happening, because what's happening out there in my life is a reflection of what I'm feeling in here. And just as if you're standing in front of a mirror and you try to change the reflection, you can't. There's nothing you can do to change the image in the glass, is there? But if you move, if you change, the reflection automatically changes. So as you change the way you think and feel, the outer situation will have to change too. It works every time without fail. And simply by recognizing what emotions are there, what emotions are present, and then picking the most urgent emotion, or maybe it's just an overwhelmed feeling because there's lots of different emotional frequencies, and asking it what it wants to tell you in that. What does it want to say? Sitting with it until it tells you the message, this emotion. So we're bypassing everything mind says about the pattern. So not enough money. Your mind will go into self-blame. It will go into judgment of yourself and others. It will bring up all of the times this has happened before. It will project into the future to try to understand why this is occurring. But mind can't understand that. And these thoughts are actually arising out of the frequency of this emotion. So we can't do anything directly with the thoughts, and we don't need to. But there's this surface level of thoughts about what's going on. Then underneath that is the emotion that we haven't really looked at. And then underneath that is this core idea that the emotion needs to tell you. So fear, anger, maybe, why is this pattern happening again? I'm frustrated. Fear that I won't have enough money. Let me look at the fear first. What is that trying to actually tell me? What does fear say? Not about the lack of money, but if we could just get fear on its own, not linked to any external situation, because it really isn't. It's just fear. And this external situation is a mirror image of it. What does fear want to say? If it had a voice, if it had a mouth, what would it say? And then turning that, whatever it says to me, into a question, well, is that really true? Seems true because I'm experiencing it, but is it really true? And as we ask that kind of question, we're going to experience different types of answer, which you may have noticed already. So, in the guided contemplations we're doing, you'll notice that people come across several different types of answer. There are thought answers, as we were just saying. Mind is trying to talk about a situation, understand why it's occurring. It can't see that is occurring as a reflection of this energy field of this emotion. And then there are emotional answers, positive and negative, just like thoughts. So the emotion that originally led us to question will be there. And then maybe some positive emotions, more joy, more relief, relaxation, contentment might begin to arise as we contemplate. And then there is, our body is giving us answers too. So sensations in the body, positive and negative. So tightness, contraction, gut wrenching, you know, when that kind of ball of tension in the gut sometimes. Also, sometimes muscles aching, particular things going on in the body, tightness in some area, and positive bodily answers too, a sense of relaxation. Sometimes I used to get goosebumps, you know, when I was really kind of sitting with a question, my body would just kind of go, oh, that's so lovely, that openness to that question. You might feel hot, you might notice your heart race a little, you might notice some other physical thing that feels good. And then we have the energetic answers. So you might begin to feel energy move, or you might get a sense that it's stuck somewhere in the body, in the system. It moves through the body, it moves through the meridians, all of that. Sometimes it might begin to flow again as we're opening up with a question. And then there is the experiential answer, which is the real self, the noumenon, the silence, the stillness, the presence, consciousness, by whichever name. So you might first of all notice that just as a blank space in which all of these other types of answer are coming and going. Or just there's just a silence now. Mind isn't saying anything else about it. The absence of sound it may present itself as. So we have two, in general, two types of answer to any question. One is a phenomenal answer that is coming and going. So thoughts, emotions, physical, sensational answers of the body itself, sounds in our environment, things going on around us are also answers, phenomenal answers. Energetic movements are phenomenal because they're coming and going, they're not constant. And then there's the non-phenomenal answer, the noumenon, that space in which all the phenomenal answers are coming and going. So at some point during your contemplation session, and as you first start to work with a question, there might be a lot more phenomenal answers. That is totally normal. Lots of thoughts about it, lots of emotions that need to move, all of that. And it may take 20 to 25, 30 minutes, or even not at all, to notice the noumenon by some appearance. That there is something just here, I'm just present, I'm here, and these answers are coming and going. Well, there's the here-ness, the noumenon, the real self. And it's not the goal, per se, of the contemplative process to reach the non-phenomenal answer. It will just present itself at some point as you stay with the question and go deeper into your questioning process. So any answer that comes, whether it's phenomenal or not, we're not going to treat them as better or worse. The noumenon, the silence, is not the right answer. And not phenomenal answers like thoughts and emotions are not the wrong answer. They're all just answers, and we have this equal approach to all of them. They're all welcome. And even if the silence of our being shows up and says, here I am, it's still not the right answer. It's not the best answer. It's just another type of answer. And kind of have this even approach to it as best you can. If bliss shows up, you know, mind will also give a thought answer saying, this is the right answer, I like this one. And if fear shows up, mind will say, this is the wrong answer, we shouldn't be having this one. Those are also just thought answers, aren't they? We don't need to judge anything. And as you get more adept at the process of questioning, you'll notice you get the non-phenomenal answer faster. It shows up faster. And eventually it might even be there all the time, in which some emotions and thought answers need to move. That's the only reason for asking the question. But as you progress, you can take your questioning, stay with the question each time the pattern is triggered, as soon as you can afterwards, if you can't do it straight away, until the non-phenomenal answer comes up in some way. Just suddenly aware of all these phenomenal answers coming and going. I'm aware of all of them. Well, there's the awareness, the real self right there. Just noticing like that. So bringing the contemplation to a point where it always goes back to the non-phenomenal answer. Doesn't mean the phenomenal thoughts and emotions and experiences have to stop. They'll still be coming and going. Although in general, they tend to calm down and get less and less as you stay with the question longer and longer. So only in the non-phenomenal answer, the silence, the stillness, is the pattern actually being erased. Because normally we follow these thoughts all the way through, these emotions, and the pattern just runs next time. But if suddenly I'm aware of the silence of my being, or that all of these phenomenal answers are happening in the presence, the consciousness, then we are no longer fueling this karmic pattern. You might be able to get a sense of that. This is still running, but it's not affecting me so much. And then it's running and it's not affecting me at all. And then it stops running. And the outer situation in your life begins to change too. So as you practice and get better and better using contemplation, try to bring your contemplation back to the silence, the stillness, the consciousness. And that is where these patterns are actually dissolving completely. Meaning they're on a time limit. You can't take the conscious, the contemplative question back to the silence very long before the pattern dissolves completely. For me, even our most stubborn pattern, I had to do that 3, 4, maybe 5 times. In different sessions, of course, when it was triggered inside me, before it stopped happening altogether. So silence and stillness isn't the right answer, but it does happen to be the only answer in which the pattern stops running altogether. So it's important to recognize that's part of this process. Most of all, relax about it. You are doing this correctly. Nobody knows how to use contemplation at first. I certainly didn't. Kind of had to get to grips with it myself. And as I relaxed more, I found it was an incredibly joyful experience. And quicker, it brought me back to the silence, the stillness, in which I couldn't even remember what the question was at that point then, and that's okay. And then there became a very fine line, which often got crossed between that and meditation. I could ask a question, let it take me back to silence, or I could focus on the silence and let the thoughts and everything move. We call one contemplation, we call the other meditation, but it's all heading in the same direction, isn't it? So I just want to encourage you and say, keep going. You can do this. You're just learning some new skills that are going to help you for the rest of your life. And that nobody teaches this stuff in school and college and university. So, you know, we're having to learn now as adults, but at least we're learning. And then we can adeptly deal with any emotion, anything that comes up for the rest of our life, and undo that pattern once and for all. We don't just have to bear the emotion and wait for it to come back next time. So please keep going. You are utterly amazing. I hope you know that. And I love you very much. See you next time.